Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
You're live on With Insights Radio. Well, good evening, everybody. This is Iggy Garcia and Rosa Bell with WithInsightsRadio.com. Today, our guests are Renee Shaw and Dr. James Torgerson, live on With Insights Radio. So how are you doing today, Rosa?
Well, you asked a loaded question, Iggy. it's been quite an interesting weekend, particularly interesting Monday for me. I guess I could share a little bit about that with you. I can say that the energies in the universe are quite active, and I don't know if that has anything to do with the spring equinox or not. But I can tell you this, it made me want to go out and do some gardening today, put it that way.
Well, you know, I agree with you. It's been kind of a hectic last 2 days. I think there's been some kind of shift in the universe because, I tell you, everything has just like, whoo, come at me like a ton of bricks, good and bad. You know, so I take it with the good and the bad.
Right. I guess it's pretty interesting that you would say that because I'm having very similar experiences. But what I find that's interesting is the way that I'm responding to what's happening and my surroundings, and I almost kind of speechless at this point because which is odd for me. I'm like a little bit in shock because I'm watching a lot of people around my circle, if you will, kind of in a freak out mode, I guess if you could say it, and I'm kind of watching and just going, wow, that is so interesting.
Yeah, I know what you mean because a holistic teacher of mine told me that that this would happen, that a lot of the people who don't have the tools to kind of work this shift is going to have a lot of difficult times, and the people who do have the tools need to help those along. And I'm finding it for myself to kind of be, it's almost difficult too, even though I have the tools to try to share that with people. Sometimes they're not receptive and they don't even understand what's going on themselves. So it's been kind of, oof, I don't know.
Right. It's a tricky situation we find ourselves in because you certainly don't want to be like, yes, I'm under control, which is an illusion anyways, and watching the people within your circle suffering quite a bit. But again, you know, that's my perception of it, and whether it's real or not, I guess I'm making it all up, am I?
There is no out there, right? That's what they say.
Exactly. That's why I said that. So what I do quickly is give myself some ho'oponopono and move on.
Infinite love and gratitude.
And infinite love and gratitude. You bet. Can't live without that, that's for sure.
Hey, Rosa, our guest today is Renee Shaw and Dr. James Torgerson. I guess everybody calls them Torg. They're part of they're from the Safe Haven Ministries. And everybody says, who's to all his friends and colleagues, he's the go-to person of most any subject, especially when it comes to the environment and healing and green building. I believe they are on the air with us. Welcome to With Insights Radio.
Thank you. Hello.
We are here. Thank you.
Hello.
Glad to have you.
Welcome. So, in listening to what Iggy and I were talking about, I was wondering if you had any insight on what we might be talking about. You know, Iggy had kind of alluded to there's something in the air. Would you like
yes,
to
definitely.
Comment?
Yes, definitely. As I was listening, I was thinking, wow, it's happening in your neck of the woods as well. Because we're all complaining, not complaining, we're all getting together and noticing these things and like you said, helping each other shift. And is this happening to you? Yes, it's happening to me. And we're just kind of looking around to see who's awake and who's, you know, experiencing these things. And it's just cool to hear that it's happening there, too.
And we had a really neat Peruvian shaman here over the weekend.
Oh, nice.
Did a sunrise ceremony here for the equinox, up all the way from Machu Picchu to do ceremony here in Salt Lake. So it was a lot of fun.
That sounds wonderful. Do you balance?
We're from Peru, too. I don't know if you knew that. My sister and I were born in Peru.
Cool.
Really?
Yeah, we did a lot of Peruvian healing work here in Columbus.
So you guys are in Ohio, huh?
Yeah, we're in Ohio. We're nice weather today.
Exactly.
We're not. It's snowing like crazy right here.
It's
snowing?
Oh, wow.
Wow. Well, we're actually going to be getting some snow, Iggy. I don't know if you knew this, but on Sunday, my kids informed me today that, Mom, it's going to snow. It can't snow. It's spring. And I'm like, well, you know what? Mother Nature can do whatever she wants, and she's been known to do that. So just be prepared, kids. But it's funny. I was putting away my snow shovel that I left on my porch, and my kids are like, Mom, are you sure? It's supposed to snow. I'm like, yeah, let's put it away. But, yeah, definitely. There's shifts, like you were explaining. And I guess if you had any insight on what tools or what are you using or doing for yourselves to help you through these shifts that people are experiencing, of course, as they experience that you experience as well, but maybe on a different level.
Well, for me, praying and singing and being in tune with the spirit is the biggest, and sometimes that's not always, sometimes we forget that. But I've just been singing these little songs to myself, and then hooking up with other people that are going through the same thing, and then you just don't feel so much alone.
Mm-hmm.
My personal way of doing it.
And we have sweat lodges and gatherings every weekend here at the ministry. So, we try to keep people in touch with what's going on in a spiritual and a personal sense. And we, do whatever healing needs to be done. And we cooperate and coordinate and all that kind of good stuff. There are ways to do it. A lot of pragmatic preparation. You put in your food storage, you learn what the skills are, you learn to look for the signs of the times, and you flow with whatever goes.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. Yeah, we do sweats here once a month in Columbus. So I think we're go ahead.
I was going to say, we used to do them once a month, and then around the winter solstice, we decided to kick it up. And we did it every weekend, and now everybody's requesting them every weekend. So.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, that's wonderful.
They're a lot of wood, yeah. Very powerful
like
stuff.
Every weekend, yeah.
Wow.
We had a choice between heating the house and heating the lodge, and we decided to heat the lodge.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's get started here. Why don't you guys tell us a little bit about yourself, Renee or Torg, whoever wants to start with first, so our listeners can kind of get a grasp of who you are, and then we'll go from there.
Do you want to go first, Torg?
Nope, this is Renee's show.
Oh, no. I met Torg about 4 years ago, and 4 or 5 years ago, and he kind of awakened me to, or I don't know, I guess it was destiny's time for me to wake up to what's happening here. And I've been involved with all the stuff that he's involved with, plus, even more, he's been working with the earth to heal the earth as well as the people in lots of different ways, spiritually, physically. We work on alternative building techniques. I'm kind of the instigator of lots of things. Torque's the knowledge guy, and I just kind of say, okay, we're going to be here, we're going to do that, we're going to teach this class here. So I'm kind of a, what would you call me? I have buffalo medicine. I get things done. So
mm-hmm.
Cool.
Great.
Part of it. So.
She's our scheduler.
Nice.
I just go where she tells me to go.
Excellent.
And that works.
Glad he's so accommodating. Yeah. Very cool.
Well, it works out. It's a nice partnership. My job is more, like she said, the technical, intellectual side of the urban shamanism thing, and that's where my specialty is. I consider myself to be an urban shaman. I teach people how to get closer to the earth and how to get out of the fact that we think we're in cities and therefore we can't. When in fact, it's not really that difficult. We tend to forget that. The electricity comes in our house through wires and all the water goes out and clean porcelain plumbing and stuff, and we feel isolated. And it's my job to reverse that whole concept.
So you call yourself an urban shaman, correct? That's
urban
what you're saying,
shaman.
Right?
Uh-huh, yeah.
Urban shaman, yeah. Yeah, I've heard that terminology before. So why don't you elaborate a little bit more on what I know you've given a little bit of insight on it, but for our listeners to kind of understand, because what you made a good point. You know, we have electricity coming in through the lines and all the different things. Everybody thinks that they have to go out in the woods to be spiritual. And personally, I don't think that's true, but can you take that from there?
Sure. It's been a lifelong pursuit of mine to let people know that just because they live in a city doesn't mean they don't live with Mother Nature. We've got our yards, we've got our houses, we've got our inside our houses and stuff. And even if it's as simple as putting a potted plant in your living room and have a pet to play with and something like that. And, of course, we do have the times we go outside. It always frustrated me to have people go camping, quote-unquote. And what they really mean is they're driving off in an RV someplace with all the same stuff they've got where they had here. And I never understood that. To me, camping means, hey, Mother Nature and I are one tonight. You know, I'm going to lie on the ground and have some fun. I've always been there. You know, I've been a scoutmaster. I've been, you know, this kind of stuff. So it's kind of been my life path. And you can get back in touch. And people are missing this. It's something even psychologists look at and say people are looking for something in modern life, and they're not finding it in the cities. Mm-hmm. So they like, you know, they go way out in the countryside and everything, expecting to find it there. But if they take the city with them, they just don't find it. And I say, you know, you don't need to go anywhere to begin with. And if you do, don't take the city with you when you go out there. So,
In fact, we have. Can I tell them about our festival?
Of course.
We hooked up with the Earth Dance Festival that started in San Francisco, and they pray around the world at the same time in September.
Oh, wow.
And so we do ours right in the middle of the city because we feel like it needs it more. We need that extra energy of the earth energy and the prayers right there in the city. So.
Well, all my relations.
Yes.
Such a beautiful concept because you make such a good point. People will escape, but you know what? You know, this Mother Earth is right beneath our feet right now, and you make a very good point, and we're better to do it in the city, as you had described. That's awesome.
There's no reason you can't burn shamanic herbs in your apartment and make it smell nice there. There's no reason why you can't plant, you know, garden herbs in your kitchen window. There's no reason why you can't put something on your roof. Our website has a connection to a gal called the Garden Girl in New York, and that's what she does, is teach people how to grow fruits and vegetables in the heart of New York, and she's very good at it, and there's no reason not to. And, of course, if you're building new homes, you can start from scratch and do it the right way all the way down. You know, no paints, no varnishes, no toxic chemicals, no this, that, and the other stuff that we really don't want to have around. You can build off-grid. When you're completely independent, all of a sudden you realize that you and Mother Earth are doing something together, and it's something wonderful.
Right. Right. And, you know, I wanted to ask you if you don't mind just giving us your website, because you had mentioned that they could find this information about this this lady. I'm sure you have some recommended sites. So why don't you go ahead and let us know for now so we can type that into the blog area. Your website, please.
Go ahead, Tork.
It's Renee's website. She's our creator here. And
okay.
She's our media specialist.
Oh, empowermentchannel.org.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us a little bit about what that is,
well,
what you do there.
When I first heard about all of these different sites, because I'm around Torg, he has all these different friends with lots of different ideas, and they all had these ideas of creating your own energy with, you know, just junk tires and that kind of thing. And there were all these different technologies out there that we don't know about. And so I wanted to start some kind of a website where people could get the information, and eventually we'll have all of the information that we would like to have there, like how to build your own windmill and create, you know, how to bring your house off grid without costing a lot of money. And so that was the original intent, and then we've just added healing, and we've added, you know, how to set up communities and where you can get information on setting up a community. And so just all these different subjects ended up coming into the mix. But originally it was just because there's so much technology out there that we don't know about that gets hidden or bought out or squashed in some way.
Absolutely.
To keep us from being independent.
Mm-hmm.
We have
True.
A feature called Green Tech News where we actually go out and feature different kinds of things where people have done a really good job or a really poor job, or something special or something unspecial, and we try to feature that, little webcasts like 15 minutes each. And we're proud of those, and, you know, they're places where people with good plans and stuff can be featured. There are also places where you can also a slime ball award for someone that did something really stupid.
we try to make it funny, so it's more of in a fun way, so that it's kind of not boring.
So that information, like you were saying they're like video clips? Did I understand you correctly?
Well, we create...
Broadcasts,
right,
okay.
through the Empowerment Channel, but they're anywhere from 5 to 10 minute shows.
And that's available on your website, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
we also
wonderful.
Have links to a lot of other things that people have. You know, they're out there. If we find a beautiful link when someone like Al Gore's, Impending Danger series and stuff like that, we'll provide links to those too because a lot of people just don't know how to run the net and find out what's available. So if you want to find out what we think really happened at 9/11 or what's really going on with free speech or something like that, we'll put a link to it. So it's kind of a networking spot and a hub spot. And our job is to get everybody aware. It's to empower all people.
I placed many documentaries about me going to the Mayan temples a couple years ago for solstice. And so there was, to awaken people, we were activated. A bunch of us, we shamans were activated for the changeover, for the 2012 changeover. I didn't even realize that was going to happen. And then from there, we took the Hopi from the Hopi Reservation to meet up with the Chumash for a ceremony, on the Malibu coastline. And so we documented that. So just, little clips of things we've done that we're hoping to help awaken people to what's going on.
We have miles of footage.
Hey, real quick, Renee and Torg, I'm not sure. I'm getting some feedback on your end. It sounds like maybe heavy breathing or something. I'm not sure. We're trying to figure it out if it's on our end or your end. So just a heads up on that. Just want to let you know that.
I was hearing that, too, as well, earlier, and I went down to see what Torg... Maybe we just need to breathe away from the phone? Or
did that stop it?
It did.
Furnace kicked on.
Wasn't sure, so I was just trying to figure it out,
I thought it was a caller doing some heavy breathing on the phone.
Some people get excited about this stuff. You never know.
I know I am, but maybe not breathing hard. Okay, so, you're speaking about Al Gore and so forth. What would you respond to President Obama's package?
Which part of the package?
As far as his environmental package.
Well, I know he's interested in the environmental package, and I appreciate that. And it's important, and Al Gore's working with him and stuff like that. But unfortunately, the government has to think on a different level than we do. For example, our response to people's not being able to afford the houses they're in would be to teach them how to build a house for less than $10,000 and own the thing and be off-grid. Now, the government can't do that because as soon as you do that, you take people out of the spending pool. They're not paying for utilities. They're not paying for mortgages. They're not adding things to the big macroeconomics.
Right.
The government can't do that, except maybe for welfare people that are concentrating on the system. What they want to do is to get people back in the spending pool, paying for stuff on a chronic basis. And if you grow your own food and you pick up your own electricity and you do your own dry mulch toilet and grow your own garden and stuff like that, you basically drop out of sight. You vanish from radar, which is good for the individual and bad for the big macroeconomic picture. So we've had different approaches to it. It's not that we're not approaching them about it, but we can't expect them to have a big, fantastic, wow, look at this response, because they really can't.
Mm-hmm.
But those are our options. Let's teach people to be sovereign again.
Right.
Yep, sure.
So do you find that you're getting any backlash for this message that you're wanting to get people independent and off the system, if you will? Have you had anybody give you any slack for that?
No, I don't think so. I mean, most of the people we talk to are people that are actually interested in dropping out of sight. They want to be safe. They want to be healthy. They want to have, their own organic vegetables. They don't want to be responsible for paying bills for the rest of time and eternity and having their kids indebted to them and stuff like that. But, our responses to government have pretty much been ignored. So we haven't had a backlash so much as we just haven't had much interest from the powers that be because they know it's not really something they're interested in. We'll keep trying, though.
Well, I think that there are so many people doing this now that I don't think they can, stop it as easily as they could years prior to this. So.
Right. It's not really a new concept. We've got places like, Taos, New Mexico, for example. It's basically been doing this, since the hippie era back in the late 60s. Mm-hmm. And you know, you've got the Findhorn Corporation up in northern Scotland that was surprised to find out that they were internationally famous for doing the same kind of thing. And, you know, of course, they had Walden 2 in the book, and a lot of Walden 2 communities popped up. So it's not new. The International Intentional Communities Directory is actually quite large. A lot of people find various packages. When it comes right down to it, the Hutterites and the Amish and people like that have been doing intentional communities forever. The Pilgrims did.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Indeed. Indeed. So, you mentioned, you know, getting homes off the grid. You know, I think I know what that means. Does that mean basically removing yourself, the meter from your house, from the power company, and somehow getting energy for yourself? How complicated is that to do?
It depends a lot on where you are, where your possible sources are. Some places wind would be a good choice. Some places water is a good choice. Some places solar is a good choice. The big thing to do is step back first and say, what am I using energy for? And change your lifestyle so you don't need very much. An off-grid house is basically designed to be stable before you start adding in the energy equation to it. An Earthship, for example, has a big glass front. It's buried in a hill in the back, and it's pretty stable all by itself. Then once you've got to that point, then you say, okay, now what do I need for my essential things? And if a big plasma TV is an essential thing, then that's what you factor in.
Okay.
And then you choose what you need from there. But, yeah, off-grid to me means off the grid. I don't take any electricity from anybody else. I don't take any water from anybody else, and I don't send my sewage to anybody else. Now, as far as my cell phone and stuff like that, I want to stay in contact. You know, it's my job to talk to people and enjoy life and all that kind of good stuff. And I like the Internet, you know, and I hope it doesn't go down. And I like being able to watch, you know, TV on my Vista computer and all the rest of this stuff. So off-grid basically means those three things. It's the utilities you pay for on a regular basis.
Okay. So how would you heat your home, let's say, for example, off-grid in your situation?
Well, if you have a nice, I mean, the thing to do is to bury, if you think in terms of well-lit caves, that's your easiest starting point. Because underground here in Salt Lake, for example, stable year-round temperature is around 52 degrees. That's not that far below room temperature when you add a window or two to pick up some solar energy. So you really don't have to worry about it much. And if it's underground like that, you also don't have to worry about cooling it much because that's the temperature it wants to go to.
And if you don't, if you don't have right now a basement home, you can just create a lot of insulation. Is that right, Tor?
Yeah, and you can also bury your house. You know, a lot of people, for example, are you know, they look at the outside of their house and say, wow, if I just put some plastic at the outside and then just bury it, you know, basically take the house into the ground, it's amazing how much of a difference that makes.
Which means back.
Yeah, Birmingham. There's some houses here in Salt Lake where people had enough room on their lot. Now, of course, if you don't have room, you can't do that, but they had enough room. They basically just put a big, thick piece of polybutyl rubber on the outside of their house and took a bulldozer and shoved the yard into the house. And it took like 60% off their energy bills in some cases. It's amazing how much smart stuff can do. Just caulk your windows, put in fluorescent light bulbs, live basically on the sun. Get up with the sun, go to bed with the sun. And don't cook the heck out of all your foods and things. If you eat raw foods, it's amazing how much that one change makes.
Very good point.
You don't have to have a refrigerator and a stove and a microwave and all this stuff.
Very good. Very good advice there. So I'll have to definitely investigate that. Living off the grid a little bit more, and because it's, you know, if you really go through an inventory of your home and just the way you're living and so forth, you have to look back and see how much of this do you really need, you know, how much of this is really luxury, how much of this is just excessive. So it gets you thinking, doesn't it?
And that speaks to the size of your house, too. If you go through an exercise and say, which rooms do I spend all the time in? And then you say, can I combine any of these rooms? And it turns out most of us don't spend much time in many rooms at all. We go to the kitchen, the bathroom, and the bedroom, and the office. Well, if you put your office in your bedroom and attach the bathroom off the kitchen with the wall, all of a sudden you're talking about a two-room house, you know, for one person. And most of us live in, you know, houses somewhere between $250,000 and $500,000 with a lot of rooms we basically never use.
Right.
There's a really good book called the Small Straw Bale of House, and there's some of the small house books around where it has you go through that exercise. And if you only spend like 5% of your time in the sitting room, then why do you have a sitting room? Size down, make something that actually makes more sense Gaia would be a lot happier if we made less of a footprint on her poor little belly.
So the name of that book again is, if I heard you correctly, Small Straw Built House?
The Small Straw Built House is one of the books we recommend to people. And
okay.
I can't read the exact title on the other one. It's Small House something or other. But, you know, if you Google them, you'll find them. And
yeah.
They basically go through this process.
Actually, I think they can go through our store on the channel.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a store from Amazon Books where we just choose books that are our favorites. And then you'll find lots of different books with different alternative building types of object, whatever. Options.
Solution.
Okay. Is there any site, I mean, besides the store, I mean, do you have a featured section for this type of building?
Yeah, we do. On the website, if you look up alternative building, there's a button for that, and they can go straight to that, into the area, and there are some videos on it, as well as options for buying books on those particular subjects. So
It sounds like you're a great resource for someone that might be just interested in getting started on this path, as well as for somebody who might be a little bit more advanced.
We would like to think so. You know, I've spent probably 30 years of my life researching this kind of stuff in general.
Mm-hmm.
I was lucky. My dad was an environmentalist. He actually designed water treatment systems and stuff, so I spent most of my youth, you know, tromping around sewage systems and things like that, and I was aware of what happened to stuff. It doesn't just go away, you know. You have to do something about it.
I can see it's changed your life forever.
Oh, yeah.
Which is a good thing. Fortunate for us.
Yeah, it's fun. It really is to see how many methods there are for living off-grid and how few people even understand it. Our own architect here at the Foundation wrote a book on lessened living. You know, let's get 40% off the normal, you know, energy utility costs. And I've had talks with her. I said, why don't you just go off the grid completely? And the United States Green Building Council has a LEED certification that they do for leadership in economic and environmental design. And they'll give you platinum, which is the highest level they offer, if you can take yourself 80% off grid. Now, to me, that's insane, because there's no reason not to go the extra 20%. It can be done easily with mud and sticks and stuff. Most of the planet lives happily in two-room houses. And most of us are living unhappily in 12-room houses. There's a lesson there.
There absolutely is a lesson there. It's not about the stuff, that's for sure.
So are there grants for this type of home building?
There are, but it's not really worth getting because the homes aren't that expensive. You know, it comes right down to it. If you've got land, and that's the critical thing, do you already have land? But if you have land and you have suitable dirt and sticks and rocks and stuff around, you can build an off-grid house for basically the cost of a signature loan. And that's what's amazing about the whole thing.
Or a couple of paychecks.
Yeah, exactly. We know a lot of people are just walking away from their expensive home and taking two paychecks and saying, that's it, we're going to join the community and build a cob house or a straw bale house or a tire house or something like that. You know, build your own greenhouse.
Yeah,
you know, my friend Helam. You probably know, you know Helam and Andre, correct?
Yeah,
yes,
I do.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, he built a cob house too.
Mm-hmm.
And then his brother-in-law built a real big one. And we spent the summer, and it was pretty cool.
Yeah, they can be huge if you want.
Yeah, I stayed in actually his brother Jake built the add-on to their house, and then Helaman built the little side house that he stayed in. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, and one of our groups in Missouri has built some cordwood houses and some cob and some other interesting things that they don't quite know what to call. You know, because something fails, more like bundled straw. And it's always there. You look at the Dobbin Waddle, the Africans have been building for 3,000 years, and these things are still standing, they're still comfortable, they're cool in the day, and they're warm at night, and it's the middle of Africa.
You know, I'm thinking, Iggy, what kind of structure, we'll have to do some research on that, could we utilize here in Columbus, Ohio, where the temperatures get really, really frigid in the winters and all the way up to probably April, and then it gets extremely hot in the summers, and then the fall and the spring probably the best time of year. So we have to give that one some thought. It makes me want
to
just
anything with a lot of thermal flywheel to it, thick, well packed, you know, earth walls basically is your best shot, because then you get this balancing effect that goes on the whole time. And build basements. Mm-hmm. You know, so few people in the Midwest build basements, it's amazing. And you got tornadoes that go through there.
Well, yeah. I have a
basement. Across, you know. Good.
Right. I have one too.
Yeah. It's interesting, though. We don't think smart. We don't think rational. We think, what would the Joneses think? And that's not thinking. That's dumb. You know, all the ancestors came across the plains 200 years ago, and they built sod houses that are still standing. They're still stable, and they keep the roots in them because they are. But as soon as they got a chance to move out of the sod house and build everybody else's building, up goes stick and skin. I mean, how dumb is that? Europeans have been building greenhouses for 2,000 years, and they never lived in them.
What about building permits and stuff when you build something like this? I mean, do you still have to go through your state or counties before you do something like this?
Well, it depends on what the permits are. And a lot of what we have to go through is saying, okay, what does the bureaucrat want on this line? And if you understand that mentality, you know what to put. You don't put, I'm going to build an earthbag structure. You don't say, I'm going to make a house out of garbage bags. What you do is you say, this is a rammed earth structure, and you cite the code line. Then they don't care, as a rule.
I didn't catch that. What did you say? Rammed?
Rammed earth.
Rammed earth.
Rammed earth.
Yeah.
Okay.
And basically, one of the structures we're most excited about now is one called Earthbag Building. And some people in California researched that, and some people here in Utah, actually in Moab, did the best book on it that I know of. And you basically take polypropylene grain bags, fill them about two-thirds full of dirt, lie on the side, and pack them flat with some stuff, some barbed wire between them, and just pack them in the sky. It's rammed earth. But if you said earth bag, they wouldn't know what to call it.
Oh, I see. So is your sweat lodge made out of...
It is, actually. Yeah, we went all the way up the sides with earth bags, a smaller size than you'd normally use, and then we put the willow arch over the top. And then we mudded the whole thing. It's cool.
Yeah, it sounds like fun. Maybe we'll do that here in Columbus with our sweat.
Yeah.
It's almost, it'd be permanent then, correct?
It's pretty permanent. I wouldn't want to take it down too fast. I mean, it could be taken apart pretty quickly, but it's designed to be permanent. And what's cool is yesterday we had the storm coming in. It was all of a sudden getting cold outside, and it was really windy. And so I didn't want to light a fire. We went in the lodge, and the past 4 days before that had been warm. So it was still warm inside, and it stayed that way the whole evening during our lodge.
Nice.
So we had kind of an intentional lodge. It wasn't really sweaty, but it was warm.
Well, we had candles.
Nice.
We are actually teaching classes in June out here at a ranch that we're developing an eco village at, and so we will be featuring the three different tiles, or three or four different types of alternative building ways of, you know, doing between the bag, cob, straw bale. Are we doing straw bale tour?
No, we'll show people how to do straw bale, but I don't like it that much because you tend to get molds and stuff, and it tends to rot, and it sags over time. But we'll show people how, because everyone's familiar with straw bale. But we'll definitely do tire houses, earth ships.
Well, so we'll teach people to ram tires, you know, fill bags and ram them and build with them, as well as cob. So, and that's in June.
All right. We're going to take a little break, 30-second break here. I just want to let everybody know we're with Renee Shaw and Dr. James Torgerson. And our call-in number is 646-595-3440. And we'll take a caller after we come back from the break.
Torg?
Yeah?
Your breathing is really loud. And
is it?
Thank you.
Well, welcome back to withinsightsradio.com. We've been here on the radio with our friends Renee Shaw, and I guess we'll just call him Torg, because everybody else calls him Torg. Patch them back in here in a second. And we've been kind of talking about a little bit of everything that they do. I'm really interested about the eco-homes, or whatever you want to call it, Reza. I think it's pretty fascinating.
Oh, I agree with you. And Renee had mentioned that they're going to be teaching a class on that. And, you know, you being in Utah and we being in Columbus, Ohio, is any distance classes available soon?
You know, that's a good idea. Maybe we will record the classes and put them on the channel. So that
Great.
Might work really well.
Okay.
But we'll also
so you ready to take a ready to take a caller here?
Sure.
Yeah, we have a caller here. Okay, 1 second. Okay, caller, area code 270, last four digits are 0309. You're on the air.
Hello, Iggy. How are you doing?
Oh, Brian, how are you, sir?
I'm doing fine.
Good to have you on.
Well, thank you. It's good to be on. I was listening to the show, and I got very, very interested because when we're speaking about rammed earth and daub and wattle houses, of course, those are the two primary traditional Cherokee structures along with log cabins. But I was really interested about in the discussion about buried houses, because our Cherokee prophecies predict that very shortly we're going to be going into a period of extended high winds, and most structures above the ground will not remain very long. And I'm one of those voices that's been crying out in the wilderness for a few years about these prophecies, and we'll be expected to have to go back into the caves or into underground houses if we have them available, because the surface will be very difficult with weather conditions. So I was going to ask the guests, I didn't hear the very beginning of the show, so I'm not sure why you began going with the underground houses and the rammed earth. Was that primarily because of energy savings or also a concern about the weather? I live out here in tornado country.
Wow. Well, Torg?
Well, actually, I studied with Mike Reynolds and Dennis Weaver, the ones that really developed the Earthship concept. And those homes are basically the traditional ones built out of rammed earth tires, so it can't be that traditional. But you set the tires up and you build your house into a south-facing hill, and you basically let the hill take it in. So all it's really showing from a real traditional house like that is just the glass front. And you also grow most of your own food inside the building. So if everything goes to, you know, the pits on the outside, you just sit there and watch the winds blow by and handle yourself just fine.
Hopefully nothing breaks the windows.
Yeah, but you can always put polycarbonate windows up and things like that. So if you're in tornado country, you can make yourself just about immune to anything that goes by. And then when the hurricanes and stuff hit the coast, the things that survived were things like monolithic dome structures and earthships and things, like you said, that were buried or that took the earth and created an extension of it, basically. So, yeah, that's where my history comes from. I went with to Colorado and studied with them and learned how to build earthships.
I see.
We've had a lot of people interested in the earthship for that very reason. A lot of people are talking about the winds and the hurricanes that could be showing up, even here in Utah.
Right.
So we have a lot of requests for that kind of building workshops.
Well, in this area, we also have a lot of Amish. And
yes.
One thing that people aren't immediately aware of about Amish homes is they're usually built with the broadest side of it facing west. The reason, and that side has the most glass, the reason is that they can then use that, have enough light to actually read by later in the day.
Right.
And not have to turn on the lanterns until later.
Right.
So all these little things add up.
Yeah, that's real lifestyle analysis. The first thing I like to do with someone.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do with your day? When do you wake up? When do you go to bed? You know, because if you take your shower in the evening, then you really want your solar water heater to be on the west side of the building. If you take it in the morning, you want it on the east side. Those kinds of simple considerations, if you think about them ahead of time, make a huge difference later on.
I feel inspired to also mention that there are a lot of people creating greenhouses that are underground. And if you do what is it called, Torg? That particular style, the aeronomics.
Oh, Aeroponics.
Aeroponics, excuse me. Then you can grow all of your vegetables underground. In fact, we had just had a conversation about this yesterday of using the containers. A lot of people are really excited about these containers, these shipping containers, and making houses mm-hmm. out of them. And I'm like, well, why don't we just bury them and place these greenhouses that you use the light system instead of the sun. And so that would really work in conditions where we need to be living underground and actually have, you know, fresh food. So that might be something we might want to look into as well.
And there's a whole movement of people that want to go and re-dig out all the old missile silos and things like that. So it's big enough for a whole community in the silo. Mm-hmm. And with the amount of wind that goes across the Great Plains where most of these things are located, you know, a simple, you know, high-tech windmill can power up an amazing amount of stuff underground. And you can grow your food. You can basically create four seasons out of two if you're underground. And if you stack your food right, it's just incredible how much food you can create this way.
And I know of a few natives that have had visions about people who are going underground during these, you know, these earth changes, that
yeah.
they do have this kind of a system set up where the lights grow the food in the caves.
Yeah.
So I think you're right on track there.
Right. We in fact, say that our Cherokee history is a series of cataclysms from which a small remnant survived to build the next world. And
yep.
we say that the last time we went underground at what we call the end of the fourth world,
mm-hmm.
that a certain number decided to stay there. They're still there and just kind of waiting to be able to be our guides when we go in. And we have the beginning of the sixth world coming up in just 3 years.
Wouldn't surprise me a bit. The Hopi have a very similar thing, and so do the Maya.
Yeah.
So we have to listen.
Yep, definitely.
Fortunately, we have lots of caves around here.
We do.
You can always make your own.
The Iggy, I think we're a little bit challenged geographically, so maybe we need to be reconsidering our location in the near future. Columbus, Ohio, if anyone's familiar with it, is pretty flat, pretty darn flat. So
yeah.
something that I'm going to be giving some consideration to.
I'll go back to Peru.
It sounds like I need to be moving back to Peru, that's for sure. Exactly. Goodness
well,
gracious.
The nice thing about flat is there's nothing to slow the wind down. It gives you tornadoes and stuff, but it also gives you a lot of wind energy. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, it's just a matter of finding a way to store that energy somehow. And there are lots
mm-hmm.
of options. You've got batteries, you've got salt packs, you've got thermal mass and stuff. We built a greenhouse on the back of Renee's house last year and just put 355-gallon drums of water in there, and it never cracked 40 degrees, and there's nothing tech out there at all. We don't have any extra lights or anything. So there are smart ways to do it, and we have a lot of technology that we can add to the old Dobbin and Waddle and make these places really comfortable. I get so many people say, I want to live off-grid, but I don't want to live primitive. So then don't. You know, nobody said you had to live primitive.
Sure.
Another thing you two could do out there is, like I said, you know, bury these shipping containers, and then some of the people out here are thinking about putting in one next to another, and then you have this whole underground, you know, grid system where you go from one to another in different rooms. You could actually go down under the ground and live there comfortably.
Wow.
When you say shipping container, are you talking about a big container that you see, like,
yeah.
the trains are hauling down the railroad track? Okay.
Yeah, they're categorized by how long they are. An LD50, for example, is about 8 feet high, 12 feet wide, and 50 feet long. These are big containers. You can pick them up at a good price. You know, if somebody dropped one sometime and dented it slightly, they can't use it anymore.
Hmm.
Yeah, they say there are lots of just yards full of these shipping containers that they don't use anymore. So, of course, you'd have to get, to me, it seems like a big pain to get a diesel to come and bring it to your place, but... You know, if you're looking at longevity and surviving the earth changes, I guess it's worth it, huh?
Yeah, and they are waterproof, and they're strong enough to bury, so there's a lot of advantages to them. I kind of like a circular design where it goes out like a spokes of a wheel, and the only thing above ground would be a dome of some kind. And the dome is a real strong process, you know, so a good strong geodesic would stand up to your tornadoes and winds and things like that, and it would create a light base for the center of the community because people don't like spending all their time underground.
Yeah,
I don't, but, you know.
Thank you. You've given me a lot to thought and think about.
Cool.
Thank you, Brian.
Thanks, Brian.
Hey, good speaking with you.
Good talking to you. Very good. That was a nice surprise. Let's see here. So, I guess I wanted to, going back to the sweats every weekend, I found that very interesting. I guess just because I'm curious, how many people fit in your sweat lodge?
Well, we've had up to 20, something like that. We had some Hopi friends from the reservation show up, and so, of course, everybody wanted to come for that. So we had to jam them in. But usually a comfortable amount of people would be 13.
Okay. Nice.
But we have anywhere from, last night we only had 4 show up, but usually we have 10 to 13 each week.
Okay. Great. Very cool. I just think it's great that you have them once a week offer that for people who feel they need that. So that's wonderful. Very wonderful. Very good. I just want to remind people that for more information on their website, they can be found at www.empowermentchannel.org, and that's empowermentchannel.org. What I wanted to do is I wanted to find out if each one of you could just share with us some closing comments about what you want to share with the universe at this time as we're getting ready to wrap up tonight's show.
Oh, well, for me, what's coming through is, if any of you know how to find these sacred geometry places like Stonehenge, those are some of the bigger ones, the more love and the more joy, the more singing, the more dancing you do, that affects the whole world, especially in those particular spaces. So I don't know how much time we have to add, to talk about the ley line systems, but you can also...
Go ahead, Renee, please. Go ahead and share that.
Well, we actually speak with the earth and the elements, and they've been teaching us a lot of really cool stuff about the earth. And then we go on the internet and verify. But there are lines similar to the meridians of the body on the earth. And spiritual people from all over the world at different times, throughout the ages, have been able to feel these spots. Tesla felt them, so the Hopis build on them. We have ancient civilizations here in Utah that build on Mesa Verde. I don't know if you've heard of Mesa Verde in Chaco Canyon.
Mm-hmm.
They're all old, ancient cities. And you can see where they've built their kivas right on the ley line systems. And so when you're right on the system, whatever singing, whatever dancing, whatever positive, joyful vibrations that come out are amplified all over the world. And we've actually been taught by the earth and the elements that work with us on our lodge how to create a crystal, how to create a doorway to those ley lines. So that's one of the reasons why we do a lot of singing and prayers through the ley line system to help power it up. And it powers up once you hook into one of those systems, and I'm sure you could find where there are some there in Ohio or anywhere in the world for any of the listeners. Once you stand or are near those ley lines, whatever you do is amplified. So you're powering up your spirit when you do that. So does that help? There's more I could tell you, but it would take longer than what we have.
Well, we'll save it for another day. Save it for another show.
It sounds like another episode, Renee. It sounds interesting. Very good. Definitely going to have to have you guys back on again. You have sounds like so much information to get out there that people, as this year keeps on moving forward, are going to really need to hear the information that you have to share with us. I just have that feeling. And
thank you for allowing us to share.
Absolutely. And Torg, or should I call you Dr. Torg? What do you,
Torg,
would you like?
Fine.
Torg? Okay.
I prefer Torg.
Okay, Torg. So what would you like to leave us with?
Well, I think since the Industrial Revolution, at least in the Renaissance, we've been moving more and more and more to a high-tech world. If you're familiar with John Nesbitt, Patricia Aberdeen, and Megatrends, They predicted this years ago that people are going to want to backlash because it's so much high tech and no high touch. So we actually have a ministry at the Open Mind Foundation, and the president have called the High Touch Ministries. And the idea is to get back to having people touch each other, to communicate, to not call on the telephone, walk out the front porch and communicate and things like that. And that's what's nice about these intentional communities. They're small houses. They're close together. They have community centers. We're fostering a sense of return to the human factor in our lives, which has been increasingly missing. And we feel something wrong. We don't touch the earth anymore. We don't walk around barefoot. We don't dig gardens. We don't hug each other. And it's time to reverse all. It's way past time to reverse all that. I mean, all of us in the hippie era back in the 60s, you know, we got into it. It's finally reverberating, catching everybody by storm now.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Very good. You make some very good points. You know, high touch, walk barefoot, hug. Let's get out there and be connected with the earth. Sing, dance. Speak with the earth and the elements. Be joyful and loving. So,
join a drum circle someplace. Have some fun.
Absolutely. Wow, guys. I really appreciate you being on the show tonight. And like I mentioned earlier, we're definitely going to have you back on to talk about the ley lines and talk about some of this touchy-feeling stuff that we're all about as well. So, again, I just want to thank you and really sincerely appreciate you spending this evening with us and our listeners, and to just expand our minds and consciousness.
Well, thanks for allowing a venue for that. So.
You bet.
Definitely.
More than welcome. People are welcome to call us anytime they want.
Okay.
Yeah, is there a number they can reach you at?
Two numbers, actually. 801-364-0607. That's the Empowerment Channel number. And then 801-347-2974. That's the Open Mind Foundation. That's the one I will answer personally.
Mm-hmm. And then can you give us your website one more time?
Empowermentchannel.org.
Okay. Well, we really appreciate you being on with us, and we'll have you on soon again. I'm sure about that. And thanks a lot, guys.
Great.
And we'll
have
keep
a good
in touch.
Evening.
You're
thank
more
you.
Than
good
welcome.
Night. Good
have
night.
Evening, whether you want to or not.
You're right.
All right.
Okay. Bye-bye. Goodbye. Well, Iggy, that was another magnificent show. Our guests are always, you know, just remarkable in their own right. I feel like they just spoke to me tonight because as you and I were talking earlier, you know, we were talking about the shifts and everyone's shifting around us, and it's like we're these conscious observers, which I'd like to think most of the time, and it just, you know, validates why this is happening, because things are shifting, things are shaking, this ground is moving, so stay tuned. And, you know, I wanted to let you know that there was somebody that had typed in a question, and if the listener is still online, that's fine. They were wondering if there was any help with Kundalini awakening problems. I wanted to give some advice upon that, and the best thing that I can give you is to stay grounded with the Mother Earth, hug a tree, as corny as that sounds, get in the garden and actually work, because Kundalini awakening problems, what happens with that is the energy is basically not, it's not grounded, it's awakening too soon. So to reground yourself with that is to stay connected with Mother Earth. Believe it or not, the timeliness of that question goes so well with our guests that were on the show. So I hope that helps.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always amazed by all of the guests we have on, and they have so much knowledge and so much wisdom, and just their insight is just fantastic. I mean, that's, you know, it's kind of, there's no accidents what we called our show with insights.com and with insights radio. But, you know, I just learn something new every day, and I hope that we keep getting more guests. We're booked all the way up to June, so it just tells us we're on the right path doing it. But I want to tell you about our next guest for next week. We're going to have a really, really cool person come on there. She's going to be talking to us about comedy, how comedy heals people. So I'm pretty excited about that. And her name is Dawn Holly. You know, pretty much I look forward to that show. Should be pretty cool and pretty fun.
Yeah, I met Dawn as well, and I look forward to that. And I think that it's going to be a very uplifting show, and as well as, you know, hey, you know, our guests, I like to say God surprise us. So, you know, and that's the having ultimate faith in the universe and the collective being where we're at. So, okay. Iggy, did you have anything else that you wanted to share with us as far as your thoughts for the show, your thoughts? How do you feel? I know that when we first came on the air, we were feeling a little like, wow, it's been an interesting day. Any shifts for you?
Yeah, I felt overwhelmed earlier coming on the show just because of all the energies and everybody projecting onto me and my family, friends, and just, you know, the shifts are coming and they're coming in waves. And there's, you know, quite frankly, I don't think there's any particular time like some people predict. I think they come when they're going to come. You're either going to be ready or not, so regardless. So I feel a lot better, a lot more at peace now. Got to do the show with you and just hanging out and talking to like-minded people. That makes a big difference, too.
You know what? You're absolutely right. Staying connected, you know. And I want to let our listeners know, too, that we have a meditation after our show at 7:15 because we are broadcasting live from Garcia's International Restaurant in our studio in Columbus, Ohio. So if any listeners are in the Columbus area, or if you're not in the Columbus area and you plan on passing through, please feel free to stop by and have a wonderful, what we like to call global fusion dining experience at Garcia's International, because by all means, they are our sponsor for this show.
Yeah, it's funny. We're open Wednesday through Saturday. It's 5 to 11. And then Sunday through Tuesday, we're doing our holistic work here out of the restaurant. So it's kind of cool how the universe has provided for us.
Absolutely. And with that, I definitely give the universe acknowledgement and tremendous amount of gratitude and humbling in the sense that, you know, when you're in the flow, the universe conspires in your favor.
Yeah,
would
definitely.
You agree? Certainly.
Definitely.
You know, our mission here with Insights Radio is not to push our beliefs on you, not to push the beliefs of our listeners, but to give you something to think about. Quite frankly, we do have a hidden agenda. Our hidden agenda is to raise the collective consciousness of humanity so that people can come to the awakening of who they really are, so that expand consciousness for total self-awareness. So, again, sounds like I'm babbling on, but, you know, with Insights is, like Iggy said earlier, is it's about your thoughts. It all begins with you. You know, if you're out there looking to be happy, looking to be rich, looking to be fulfilled somehow, and you're finding that what you've been trying just doesn't work and doesn't work, well, guess what? It's time for you to look within.
Yeah, you know, and I want our listeners to know, too, you know, that we want you to be our guest on our show, too. If you feel like you have some insights you want to share and be on the radio or even write a poem, an article, or anything, we have also a website called withinsights.com. And we welcome everybody to share. I mean, we'll read it and, you know, talk with you about it before it gets published. But it's free, you know. We don't charge for our services. The only services we ask, you know, donation-based, universal-based, why is the work we do independently. But the radio show and the website, the articles, you know, we do it because we feel like it's an important piece of the universe that needs to be shared with everybody.
Absolutely. It's our way of being in service. And what better way for you to experience the joy and happiness of life is allowing that to flow through you and allowing other people to have that experience themselves. Wouldn't you agree?
So I guess with that, we can close.
Sounds good. And I infinite love and gratitude to everyone listening. And ho'oponopono.
And Hawaii, hang loose.
Good night.
Good night. This has been a withinsights.com and a withinsightsradio.com production. March 23rd, 09.